Welcome to Medroom Chronicles. Join nurses and other care providers as they let you in on discussions usually reserved for the privacy of the locked medication room. In this weekly nursing podcast, the filters come off and we tell it like it is. Your hosts, nurses Adrienne Benning and Andrew Craig, are here to educate and entertain on all things in the nursing world. This podcast is intended for nursing students, nurses, nursing assistants, and other care providers. Non-medical folk will probably get a kick out of us too. If you like what you hear, subscribe and share. Happy nursing, folks. What's going on, guys? It's Adrienne here again. I am back with my old friend and proto-nurse, Allison. We've refreshed our drinks, we've had a stretch, I've let the dog out, and we have a lot more to talk about. So listen in to part two of our conversation now.
I work full-time, and I'm currently taking physiology and microbiology with labs. And I have other commitments that I do all week. And today is the end of my school week, if people understand what that means. I'm sure many people know what that means. So the last thing I always have to do during the week is on Thursday nights, I have a physiology test online every week. And I just did that earlier before we started talking. And so now I feel like Leo DiCaprio on the Titanic, king of the world, just... It's done. I crushed it, and now I'm having whiskey in the dark talking to you. It's wonderful.
That's fantastic. I am not drinking booze because I should be. I should be drinking a hot toddy or something.
No,
because
you're on ABS.
I haven't had...
Take it easy.
No, I haven't had any booze since... actually, I think the last time I drank was my Halloween party.
Wow, good for you.
And yeah, and it's like we're coming up on... Thanksgiving here, so about it, unless somebody's like, hey, let's have a drink. I don't know. And Doug has cut way back for health reasons, so just in general being healthier. And
yeah, I mean, I usually drink, you know, because I have truly like kind of an oppressive school schedule, work schedule, all that, you know, usually on Thursdays after I've done all my schoolwork for the week. And it's one of those, fuck, did this happen? Like, did these teachers not talk to one another? Like, what is going on?
Never. You know, because, I wish I had a dollar.
Because many of us, you know, we're not in the nursing program necessarily. Most of us who are in these classes, but most of us are kind of on the same, we're like the same cohort of prereq people, if that makes sense. And yeah. Like taking physiology and microbiology at the same time makes a lot of sense for people who are a little bit later in their prerequisite journey for nursing school in the Twin Cities for, you know, what the programs around here are asking for, which is mostly consistent, unlike what you dealt with. And it's like, they're all fucking due on the same 3 days and the classes happen on those days too, which is just horrible. It's so horrible. So now on Thursdays, I just become like a drunk bum by like 9 PM on Thursday because I so just like don't have the coping skills to deal with what I just went through.
This is such a common, like, oh, I remember, you know, they told me before I graduated because I was so like embedded in all this shit that you have to go through to get through nursing school, and I had other nurses that would say to me like, oh, I don't remember that, and I would be like, it's so traumatic, how do you not remember this part? But it's true, you get like this, like, yummy, it's like childbirth, it's like you forget how awful it was and you're just like, oh yeah,
I know.
It did hurt, didn't it?
Yeah, it did hurt, and then it felt really good when it was over and that baby came out and I had oxytocin all in my brain.
That's how I feel right now. So anyway, I do remember what it was like, and still in my program now, it's, even though I'm thankfully only doing it part time, so it's only half as bad. But yeah, I remember being those days like, well, I gotta work the 3 days before all this shit is due, which means that I have to, but they don't release the content until the day before.
Every week it gets released. Ugh.
Really, I wish that you could, you know, be everything released at once. Mm-hmm. I don't know if teachers are like making this curricula or amending it as they go, making it so they can't release it in advance. But it's like, honey bunny, if you don't release that till Sunday night, and I work Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, and you make this shit due Wednesday night,
I am going to have one day to do all of this content and I'm not going to be able to do as good of a job. Yeah. So I, you know, and with nursing scheduling, like we're already scheduling right now through February. Mm-hmm. We have to have those spots filled. It's not like you just make a schedule every 2 weeks.
Right.
It's complicated. So like when someone says to me like, oh, you're already scheduling for your next semester. It's like, I have no idea what those deadlines are going to look like.
Yeah.
You know, if I work, you know, anyway.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, so it's like, you know, I go to what I think of as, you know, it's a really good, you know, community college in the Twin Cities area that is, you know, it has its own nursing program, 2-year nursing program, and it has tons of pre-nursing students who are night students. You know, generally they work during the day or whatever. And not everybody's going to nursing. Some people are going to physical therapy, physician's assistant. Some people are trying to go to med school, all this other stuff. But, you know, even they're like award winning for innovation, for their nursing program, for their prerequisites, for their science faculty, which they're way better than any university teacher you will have. Which that's kind of almost a different episode. But anyway, you know, the people who really are the dedicated community college science faculty who are there day in, day out, rather than some researcher who doesn't care anything about you. Right. And doesn't really care about teaching. That's a different thing, you know, the difference between universities, community colleges. I didn't mean to get derailed. What I'm saying is my school has even won awards, their program has been fought to death about how can they make it easy for evening students. And yet still we have things like, well, your quiz opens up at noon on Wednesday and it closes at midnight on Thursday. And that's when you have to take it. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? What is that supposed to look like? You know, that does not fit an adult non-traditional model for when you have access to, you know, to spend time on something. That just doesn't fit the model. And then you didn't even get the content until, you know, that very week or whatever. It's garbage.
Right. And my favorite strategy.
Is this ringing a bell?
It's all ringing a bell. And actually, it's a little bit worse now that I'm doing an online program because 100% of the content is online, at least with, you know, and I do get a syllabus. I do have texts that I can look at. So it's not like I'm coming into it completely blind, but it's like if all of my lectures are going to be on this platform, I want as much possible time to go. I love to start a semester the first semester's worth of work before the semester has begun, mm-hmm. because then I'm a week ahead. If I have a week like I just had where I was sick all week, I'm going to tell a story and I'm going to be honest, and heaven forbid my professor listens to this and understands. Hopefully she sees that I'm really innovative and can work in a crisis. But basically, I was completing a portion of a project and I had worked all week. I had been sick part of the week. I had sprained my ankle the week before. I had family stuff going. Like, it was a bad week.
You kind of had everything go bad at once. Yeah.
Usually how it goes in my life. Either everything's cool and I'm watching Golden Girls or, you know, like someone is in crisis.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, was having a really bad go of it. It was the first day I had developed ear pain. It felt like someone was like putting marbles in my ears at a rapid pace. It was horrible. I had a sore throat. I was exhausted. And here I am sitting up trying to finish this fucking piece of this project so that I could turn it in because I calculated my score. If I get all 12 points, it will propel me back towards that A that I gave up a couple weeks ago when I didn't have time to do the homework then. And granted, the content's not hard. It's the deadlines that are messing with me. If I don't do this 12-point assignment, then it drops me to a B minus and I'm in perils of not even passing the class. Because in the world of nursing, a C is not passing, folks.
Yeah.
So I'm literally on the cusp between being like, I feel like I'm being stabbed in the ear. I just want to go to bed. I'm so sick. It's due in 3 hours. Mm-hmm. I have to read shit. I have to think. I have to decide. I have to listen to these lectures. pictures, and I just want my head smashed so I can be out of this misery. And I did the work. I forced it out of myself. And there's almost this point, which you'll reach many times in nursing school. You'll have days where you turn in assignments and you're like, nailed it. Yes, I rule. I'm a superhero. Give me a medal. And other days you hit submit and you're like, I cannot give any more of my body, mind, or soul to this. And I'm just going to fly and pray and just hope that I don't flunk out.
Yeah.
So anyway, I submitted this paper going, I don't even know if I read the instructions right.
To be honest, physiology has kind of felt like that. And actually, when physiology has felt like that, I've ended up handing in things and been like, I'm the motherfucking best. And then it's like 28 out of 40. And yeah. That's the terrible stuff, is when you really feel like you're on top of it and then you get the grade back and you're like, wow, I definitely did not get it, man.
Yeah, and you know,
not to derail what you were saying, but
no,
I've actually learned that thing of like intuition doesn't mean shit in hard sciences and in med sciences. Like, you got to double check and triple check your shit to make sure you understand every single thing, because this shit is not casual. And I come from, you know, like liberal arts, reading novels and writing critical theory papers about those novels. Like, that's all intuition. You know, a lot of it's research, but it's very kind of loosey-goosey. There's no playing hard and fast with this shit. You got to know it.
And maybe not so much.
That's been a big transition for me as a liberal arts person.
Yes. And that is a huge transition. You go into a space where you have to understand mechanisms to be able to move forward. Yeah. And that's why I wrote a blog that was like a bunch of tips, my most hardcore tips for nursing students. It's at nursedrizzles.wordpress.com. Go find it.
Check it out.
But it's basically one of the things that I recommend is that not only do you supplement your own learning, but that you are going over this shit every single day.
Totally.
Even if it's for 5 minutes on the toilet before you get in the shower in the morning, go over that shit, because you need to commit these things to memory, and not just like memorizing this word after this word. Like, you need to understand exactly what this cascade is. The sooner you master it, the easier all this other shit's going to be. I can't believe I got away with it. It was another moment. It was right at the beginning of my illness when I was feverish, and like I submitted a discussion post, and it really was a topic. It was talking about, basically, I had to post what I would say to like a 13-year-old who was just diagnosed with diabetes. How do I explain to this kid why some people take pills and some people take shots?
Okay.
And that was the discussion. This is something that I have to do diabetic education constantly in my job. I've been doing diabetic education in my dreams for over a year. Mm-hmm. So all of this. And at the end I said, and again, I had a fever. I was like, fuck school. I was like, I'm not citing any references, because I do this education on a regular basis and could recite this information in my sleep.
You said that in your paper?
Discussion board.
Oh, okay.
But I did say, no, it wasn't like a formal, no, I did not APA cite myself.
I'm citing Adrienne.
From me, 2017.
That's how long I've been doing this, bitch.
Yeah, so I didn't say it in like a snotty, like, but I did say, like, this is a routine part of my job. Like, right. This is information that I can deliver. This is exactly how I would deliver it if I was standing at the bedside in my scrubs. And I got full point. My teacher was like, fuck you, you little shit. Or if my teacher laughed and was like, good for you, girl, good for you. I have no idea. It's all online. I don't have any facial expression, whether or not she's reading this going, are you fucking kidding me? Did you actually type that? But then I keep getting points, and I'm like, I know this material. I contribute. The problem is that I'm always scraping in at the last minute on the deadlines because, you know,
you're busy. You're doing other shit. Yeah.
Yeah. But also I started the semester off balance. I never never got myself that week ahead like I like to be. And so I feel like I'm just kind of fumbling. I am usually a very fastidious student. I have been in school long enough to know how I study and how I learn best.
Totally.
And so I try to facilitate that for myself in every way. This semester, I feel like I'm running and I'm off balance, but I'm still running. So I'm just kind of running slightly off balance. That's my analogy.
I feel that way too. Somehow I'm managing, but I'm preparing for that, obviously. But you know, and I'm getting close. I'm getting closer, you know, closer and closer. But yeah, working full time and taking a bunch of prereqs, man, it's no life. So I want to go to work, and this is my ideal life. And it used to be my life, but it's not going to be my life for a while. I just want to go to work. I want to have my extracurricular hobbies. I want to come home. I want to make some nice dinner, check out my stuff, and just watch some Netflix. But that can't be my life right now. And that's okay.
And you know what? You're right. But there will be spaces for that. In my most brutal semester ever, you have to remember, because I was in the evening and weekend program, I was working part-time, but part-time overnights, which is what I had been doing for years. And so I didn't feel that switching to doing a bunch of day program shit, I didn't think that was a smart idea, because my body was not, for a decade, had not been living that way.
No.
So I was like, let's not make too many variable changes at once. I was working overnights, 2-3 nights a week. I was going to class in the evening, and then the school had it set up that we only had the choice to do our clinicals first shift on weekends. And so I would go to class Monday and Wednesday. I would work like Tuesday, Thursday, whatever the schedule was. Sometimes I would get out of class at like 8 p.m. I would drive 30 minutes home. I would go home for like 40 minutes, and then I would go to work, like bang, bang, bang. And then I would have clinicals. I would be bound to clinicals from Friday night to Sunday at midnight. That entire time I was eating, sleeping, well, not really sleeping. I was eating, breathing, constantly sleep deprived, doing clinicals because we had care plans to do. I don't know what they do care plans like, but when you get to a point, Allison, where you're about to start clinicals, we need to have a talk.
Yes,
it doesn't need to happen until then. I'll do another episode about it. I've done a blog post a little bit about it, but I actually am a huge proponent of care plans. However, I think the way they're done, anyway, we don't need to talk about that now. But I was basically like glued to my patient home night day days. And that went on for like 9 weeks. There was one period of time where I didn't have a day off for 9 weeks, meaning I either had school, clinicals every day for 9 weeks. And Doug and I had to make a pact repeatedly that we were not going to kill each other during me being in nursing school. And it worked. We're such a strong couple now because came through that experience. I've been meaning to ask you this. Will you just briefly describe, like, you've picked a program, right? Like you've got your sights set, or are you going to apply to multiple programs? Like what's your strategy at this point?
So kind of like how you were complaining about how like med school, you just can, do the MCAT, do the biochem and OCHEM and all the stuff that, you do your best to kind of prepare. It's because I feel like with med school, they treat you like an adult where they're like, prepare yourself and then apply. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
With nursing schools, they all have this different stuff. In the case of that, post already having a college degree, returning for a new career kind of degree, they all start at different times. So some of them start in the fall only. Some of them start in the spring only. Some of them have 9 prerequisites. Some of them have 4 prerequisites. I mean, it's ridiculous. I have narrowed it down to 2 programs. The first one that I can do starts next fall. And that is a master's degree in very elementary master's degree in nursing, which is just entry level. And the other one that I would apply to would then start in spring, and that's also an entry level master's degree. And again, the reason why, not again, because you may edit out the previous rambling that I did, But the reason why is that there are no accelerated bachelor's programs or transfer programs for bachelor level education in the metro. Mm-hmm. And doing an associate's degree, which would be fine. I would love to keep going to the community college I go to and then, you know, do an RN BSN. That actually takes way longer than the master's degree.
Yeah.
You know, the master's degree are basically 2 years, two and a half years. But to do an associate's is 2 years, and then to do RN to BSN is like another year to a year and a half. And so that just doesn't make sense. That's more time you can't be working. That's more, you know, it's just more time that you're not actually practicing and making a salary. So I decided to do the, you know, the postgraduate.
Absolutely. And, you know, I consider doing like an RN to, you know, MSN program. Mm-hmm. But there were very, you know, there was a lot that I had to consider, and I picked the route that I did, and I'm, you know, we'll see. I'm fine with it. I like what I'm doing now. But it is true that, like, if you don't have choices in your area, like, I know people that drive like an hour to go to their nursing school because all the factors, it's like, and like you were saying before, if you don't want to end up working in a nursing home, if you want to get a job in a hospital, there is such a push right now. Yeah. You know, the Institute of Medicine wants to see us all have bachelor's degrees. And so a lot of these hospitals now are saying, like, bachelors, we don't want you. Research shows, evidence shows that if you have a bachelor's degree, you have better outcomes. Right. There are a lot of things that I've learned in my bachelor's program that are vital to my education and my growth. Mm-hmm. There's also a lot of stuff that I'm like, I just went to a really good 2-year program. I already know this. I'm getting A's in your classes because this 100%. Is redundant for me.
And I feel like there's, it's like people get funneled into, you know, it's like where you came from affects where you end up, because people get funneled because there's nothing wrong with getting another bachelor's degree. I'm totally comfortable with that. But to do the 2-year program at community college, which is a very good program, we have many, 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 you know, many of them in the Twin Cities. And then to do a BSN from there is more time than doing, you know, the master's degree. And so, you know, people just, it's like, if you come from kind of the college background and, you know, you have kind of that more formal post-secondary education, you get funneled. And that's actually an interesting topic, again, probably for another podcast, that reinforces like the class system in medicine, because people who already kind of went to college, you know, from age 18 to 22, got their bachelor's degree, dinked around doing whatever, and then went back into nursing. A lot of them are going into those graduate programs that are kind of on the management track, the clinical leader track. A lot of the credits from the elementary, even though it's elementary, you know, like the second, third, or half of it is basically graduate level that then translates into later, more graduate education for FNP or other stuff like that. It kind of reinforces the class system in nursing. Where, you know, the people who
I think there's also still a little bit of like that kind of class is that snobbery that like, oh, you're an ADN.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, and then
that's garbage. Like
the snapback to that is we pass the same boards.
Like, absolutely. 100%.
And so I'm kind of like, I can play tug of war on either side of this argument. Mm-hmm. Because on one hand, it's like, I right now have a 2-year degree. Mm-hmm. However, my 2-year degree is not only, I also have 10 years of experience in a hospital before that. And so that doesn't mean to say that I'm anything special. I'm just saying, like, I don't know what kind of a feeling I would have about my degree program if that had been literally the only experience I had.
Totally.
However, I graduated with, you know, students that was the only clinical experience they had, and they're great nurses, and they picked it up really fast, and they figured it out.
Yep.
I'm not judging one way or another, but I guess
I mean I am in a way, because I think it's a little classist and unfair, because like I said, I think the people who already have a college background in something totally unrelated end up getting rewarded later.
Yeah,
and that's what I'm kind of picking at. I'm actually picking at my own path that I think is it's actually like this is something I could explore later when I have more experience in healthcare after this has all come to pass. But the evidence shows that class system gets reinforced because a lot of those elementary masters and nursing students who have come from different college educated background, they get a lot of the clinical leader and management jobs because they just get this, like they attach that little extra bit of graduate education onto it. That kind of like
Right. It's like that extra academic boost.
It's like the phosphorus molecule that gives you that little oomph, you know?
I can't tell you how much overjoyed. You can't imagine how happy I am to hear you speak to me like that. I love it. Now that I can be like, oh, I had this patient the other day. And you're like, oh, yeah, I just learned about that pathos. I'm like, yeah. I still am excited about that. You know, that's the thing. You're never going to stop having those feelings, even right. if you're a nurse yeah. that's been a nurse for like 40 years. You still have yeah. those days where you're like, oh, I learned to do something new.
Totally. And the human body does not cease to be fascinating. And human people, right? their behavior never right. ceases to be fascinating. So that's it.
So how many... any prereqs do you have left before you said you can start up in fall? Like, are you going to have time that you have to just kind of like sit and wait? Are you going to be done with your prereqs before you're ready to start?
So if I get into the program that starts in fall, which I'm hoping I will, I think I will. I have really good, you know, kind of credentials behind me. I've got my letters lined up. I'm finishing my essay. I've got really good GPA and all that stuff. Got a really strong multicultural background. I lived in Mexico. I'm bilingual. Like I said, I'm kind of a chameleon. I can kind of live in a lot of places, which I think is really helpful. But anyway, so if I get into that program, which I hope I will, that will start in the fall. But I'll be finishing up microbio this semester, physiology this semester. And then in spring, I have to take nutrition, statistics, and then the summer I'll take medical ethics, and then I'll go right into fall starting the full-time program. And it's a full-time graduate program. So, you know, at first they say don't work at all and then see what you can handle.
Yeah.
Ugh, it's horrible.
So yeah, it's a big leap. It's really scary to think about supporting yourself as a student.
I know. The hard stuff's kind of coming to an end. You know, the hard, you know, I mean, physiology and microbiology all, you know,
right,
together.
Right. The ones the prereqs that everybody dreads, you know. Yeah. And the thing is, if you do pretty solidly in those classes, I feel like you've got a pretty good foundation moving forward. But you know, I had a semester,
and lower anatomy accelerated because that's how it worked out for me, and I rocked it and loved it. And so I feel like I'm complaining a lot about it, but I'm cruising and I'm doing well, and so. Nothing is really going wrong at this point, which is good.
And so what things do you think, so what are some of the things that you do or the habits that you have that you think you would sync without? Like, let's say we look at alternate dimension Allison, the one who's failing out. What are the things that you're not doing as you're failing out?
One of the assets is flexibility at my job. So because I work full time every day, you know, I take my full hour lunch break and I study. I study whenever I have downtime. So I'm kind of like always, I've been pretty good at this historically. I kind of weave all the stuff going on throughout my day. Does that make sense? So I'm very good at time management. I also used to work in kitchens, and I think I learned a lot about time management working in kitchens, you know, working in food service. So I'm very good at time. I, like you said, you've been in school forever. You know, I went to school from age, 6 to 22, and then now again. And before that, I worked in education, so I know how I learn. I know what, I know the materials I need. I know where I'm messy. I know where I'm sloppy. I know where I'm tidy. And I know when I know something. Does that make sense? I'm really kind of aware of when I know how to synthesize an idea.
Yep. I tell people, I don't know everything, but I know what I don't know.
Yes.
Like I can identify where I'm lacking.
Yeah.
I know,
you know, just reviewing, you know, a couple pages of physiology notes, I know that, you know, if you ask me what's the difference between a cholinergic nicotinic and a cholinergic muscarinic, you know, I know that I'm not going to be able to answer that. I should probably go back and look.
Right.
I should go look and see which ganglia those are hanging out on.
Nurse,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And actually, there are so many nurses that talk about learning styles. You can even, I mean, and when I say like learning style, I just mean like for me, I need visuals. Mm-hmm. I need visuals in every aspect of my life. Like if you come to my house right before I have a big exam, like for example, when Doug and I took German together, I needed just another, I either needed to take fourth year Spanish, having not taken Spanish in 8 years, or I needed to take 2 semesters of another language. Doug and I took an accelerated German class. It was 2 semesters rolled into one. And if you would have come to my house at any point during that semester, every single item in this household had a post-it note on it with a German word.
I saw it. It was real.
You know what? That is how I learn shit. And, you know, that's how children learn. And so not equating myself to a child, but like you have to think about what stimuli sticks with you. Mm-hmm. I am so visual that like when I took organic chem, all of the different like functional groups, like the carboxyl groups, all that shit, I drew them as charcoal drawings on little sheets of canvas and hung them up in various places in my house so that when I had to recall which, oh yeah, this is the one that's hanging above the sink in the bathroom and like this is the functional group and this has a double bond and I remember, that's how I remember things. And then I have to equate them to something. Now that I'm a nurse, I equate that to stuff in real life. Like when I'm learning about, say, Guillain-Barré, I'm like,
Oh, my disease project in microbiology is Zika, by the way. That's fine.
Oh, yeah. I'll be interested to hear what you have to say about that.
Well, my presentation is on cultural barriers to treatment and prevention. So that ties into my passion, one of my passions, which is reproductive health and abortion care and that kind of stuff. Anyway, absolutely. Going back to what you were saying.
So if I'm like learning about something now, yes, I like visuals. I like to watch animations. I'll watch surgeries on YouTube, which if you didn't know you could do that, you totally can do that. But I'll, you gotta follow
Mrs. Ann Jemmy on Instagram and see all the patho stuff.
I love her. Oh my God. She's like,
some of the stuff does not always have like a trigger warning, and it should. You know, if I see a guy whose face is half torn off from a motorcycle accident and he's moving around, I don't want to see that. Put a blurry thing in front of it, please. But I like that account.
And I get it.
That's really useful information.
Yeah. And you know what? Those are things when it's attached to a person, those are the things that you remember. Like I can help remember pathophys or medication. Like honestly, some medications I come across, and maybe my memory will fade over time, but like methotrexate, I remember that medication because I was helping administer that to my patient my first semester of nursing school, and I was like, holy shit, this is methotrexate. There are things that I remember very specifically, or like I remember the first person that I had to start an insulin drip on. Like you remember these things. And then if you reinforce your learning around those experiences, like if I have somebody that has a condition that I've never heard of before, I'll look it up on my shift so that I can make sure I'm taking care of them properly. Yeah. But then I'll go home and I'll watch like a 5-minute YouTube vid on. It's not like I'm studying everything constantly.
That's a really good example of what I was talking about earlier, where I try to weave what is on my agenda to learn throughout my day. You do that.
Totally.
You know? You're kind of remaining curious, and you're not oppressing yourself with these learning tasks, but you're just doing these quick little things throughout the day to keep your mind fresh. And I think that's super
because important. For me, it's about frequency and repetition.
That's right. I mean, that's how the human mind works.
Right. So. And so, and then also I'm not someone who can sit down and be like, okay, I'm going to close the door and I'm going to study for 2 hours. I can't do that.
Well, studies show that doesn't work for most people.
Oh, and that's why, what's the, I can't remember the name of the technique, the Pomodoro technique, where like, well, basically that's the concept that like, and there are apps for it and stuff, but that you work for like 25, 30 minutes, and then you have a 10 or 15 minute break. Mm-hmm. And that's how, but
ideally, like, it's even better if it's just sprinkled consistently throughout your day. But I guess
the point is that you're taking frequent breaks, whatever those intervals need to be for you. But then during the time that you're working, you're like hyper focused on what you're working on. You're not multitasking necessarily. Yeah. So it can be 2, 3, 4 minutes waiting for the bus, waiting on an elevator, but also, so there's enough interesting content out there right now that it doesn't have to be you listening to dry ass lectures. There are amazing podcasts. Right. No. So many other resources now, even the sources being other nurses that are starting YouTube channels and different different sources. Khan Academy, like there's a million different ways you can go.
And you have a blog post about that, right?
Yeah, actually I have a blog post of like my, it's actually entitled YouTubers Who Saved My Ass in Nursing School.
Yeah, I think you should plug that. Where do we find that?
You can go to Nurse Drizzles, NURSEDRIZZLES at WordPress.com. That is, or you can just Google Night Shift Nursing Nuance. Sorry, the alliteration was very necessary for me when I started this blog. Yeah, I have a lot of posts there, but that's one of the ones that's gotten the most attention. That and my post on rectal tubes.
Oh, how nice. That. What a thing to be remembered by.
Hey, if I can save someone's butt from looking like hamburger when they're discharged from the hospital, I am all for keeping their skin intact with a flexi and teaching other nurses. Anyway, yeah, so if that doesn't entice you to my blog, I don't know what will. But yes, I also talk about the YouTube channels. I think I list maybe 15, 20 of them that were absolutely instrumental that I was just watching, not like watching every video they put out, but like using them more like a reference material. Like I would go to their channel and I would Google like kidneys and then would go to town and would make my own playlists. So anyway, I was about to start listing all these study tips, but you know how you work, you know how you study. If you don't, then look at other people around you and how they study. Mm-hmm. Watch videos. Like, you know, people do YouTube videos on how they study. If you have access to the internet, there's no reason you can't figure this out. Yeah. And as a nurse, part of what you need to be able to do is if you don't know something, you need to be able to figure out how to learn it on the fly. Yeah. Like, you need to figure out, oh, shit, I have to change that port needle and I haven't done this in 6 months. How do I get to my nursing policies? How do I read through the policy in 30 seconds? And how do I walk into that room being confident that, you know, can the patient know that I'm confident in this? Mm-hmm. This is what nurses get good at. Just because I've never done it before doesn't mean that I can't figure it out. You kind of become MacGyver as a nurse.
Yeah, that's only fair. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense. So I think that students need to learn to develop that. Hopefully you have instructors that are going to give you good resources, but if not, take to the internet, find a nurse. You got a nurse in your family, ask them how they study.
And I think on the flip side of that, you know, having been back in school now for what feels like forever, I think it's been 4 semesters now. Also, you know, on the flip side of that, figure out what doesn't work and don't do it. So like when I'm studying, I don't have my smartphone by me. You know, if I have the materials I need, I move my phone away from me. And I know that a lot of folks are, a lot of folks who are younger than me and some who are older than me are, you know, have a little bit of a problem with the phone. Move the phone away, like put it away, put it in the kitchen, sit down. If the professor is providing you with a resource that's not really particularly adapted to your learning style, don't use it. You know, maybe take a quick look at it, see what's in there. But if it doesn't work for you, don't use it. You know,
Right.
Use what works for you and don't use what doesn't work for you. Another really good example of this where people lose a lot of time could change, you know, with the whole lab thing and the kind of clinical thing in nursing school is group study. You know, in my experience, I'm very extroverted. I love chatting with people. I love learning about people. I go to a really multicultural school. So I end up meeting, you know, there'd be 5 people in my class I could be in a group with and they might all be from different countries and I want to learn about them. And, you know, we're all just kind of funny extroverted people or whatever. The group study doesn't work so well. Don't use it.
Yeah, you know?
Be prepared to say no to that, you know.
Yeah. And also, that's important. And also, you know.
You can go for beers later another day.
Yeah. And actually there were a few people that I said to them, like, I don't do well in groups. Like I would study with 1 or 2 other people, even 2 other people is a stretch for me. But there were times that like I would be studying in the commons, which I didn't do very often, but I didn't go to school in the town that I lived in.
Like a commuter kind of situation.
Right. Yeah. So if I had time between classes or if I needed to study, it had to be in the commons. So I was hanging out in the commons and like eventually other people would see us and would come over and filter in. And suddenly either it's too many people talking about too many things and getting me off task, or someone invariably will be like, actually, I don't think that's right. And then there becomes a debate about what's right. Dear. And then I get confused about something that at one point I understood really clearly. So it was like I was unstudying in the groups.
Yeah.
I was getting myself more confused.
Yeah.
Where I did excel, it was kind of group study, but it was I didn't tutor. I wasn't tutoring, but some people would be like, oh, you seem to understand this. Will you help me through it? I think that once you understand a topic, you have to teach it for two reasons. One, it's going to reinforce that in your mind. It's just going to make you that much stronger at explaining it and talking through the process. But also, nurses have to do patient education. And so you're going to be responsible for sending that patient out the door understanding the most vital things about them taking care of themselves.
Right.
And so reiterate information in a way that makes sense to someone that doesn't understand is a vital skill that you got to develop. So start right away.
Yes.
But yeah, group study is wasted on me. It always was. I was never able to study in a group. And when I was a really little kid, I think I was permanently singed by the fact that, like, say I did understand something really well and I would try to explain it, I was labeled as a know-it-all. But it was like, I'm trying to help you. Like, I'm not trying to show you how much I know. I'm trying to give you a different way to look at it. And so I think, you know, group study, it makes, because then what happens is somebody speaks up and but they're like, actually, I think it's like this. And then because I'm so worried about sounding like a know-it-all, and what if I am wrong? Then I don't speak up, and then I start second guessing myself.
Yeah.
And then before I know it, I've convinced, like, I've had moments. There was actually one test that I'm now remembering very clearly that we were studying right before we were like cramming in the hallway. And I got two questions wrong because I filled it in with what another girl had said at the table and not what I had been studying all week. Just be really careful about what you're susceptible to.
That's actually really funny because that's happened on the flip side. I had a, like, we've had like four midterms already in microbio, which is kind of insane, but we've had three big, and there's a lot of content, but anyway, you know, we're getting toward the end, but at any rate, after the test is over, you know, people trickle out of the room. And then they sit in the area and they go, oh, what did you put for 7? Was it IgG or was it IgM? Oh dear, what was it? Was it IgG or was it IgM? Which of those antibodies is the long term? Which is the short term? Oh boy. And so then you start to go, oh dear, I don't know what, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, and then you can see that happening going into the exam and you can see it happening coming out where you're like, oh shit, I hope I chose the right one.
And let me just tell you, that's so funny that you say that. Forgotten about that, but it's true. Like, we all used to, in our case, we would sit, there were a few benches in the hall, but mostly we would sit like on the floor in the hallway. Which also I think is pretty juvenile that they didn't provide us. It was like this long ass corridor. So you either had to walk 10 minutes away or you had to just sit on the floor.
My school has a bunch of padded, you know, soft seating and then tables. And then there's benches too. It's pretty nice. It's a really nice building.
But and so we would all, that's always what happened. Like, people would be quiet for a minute and then somebody would, you know, like, and then you get to a point where you're taking the tests. And then at the end of the exam, before you turn it in, you're going back through trying to like memorize all the ones that you couldn't, that you didn't get right, so you can ask about them in the hallway and see what other people think. But then people start giving different rationales, and the joke in nursing school, which is no joke, it's actually true, is that even when you're right, you're still wrong. And so everybody has a reasonable rationale for why they picked what they picked, but they're correct. So then you leave there, you walk out of the room thinking that you did well, and then you leave the hallway going, oh my god, I totally failed that exam. And there have been times I've taken exams and I'm like, I literally have no idea how to know how I did. Like, I literally don't know. And then you get the, you know, then you get it back. And
that's what's truly humbling about bio and health sciences, is just sometimes you're like, you know, that could have been a 98 and it could have been like a 72. We'll
and
see.
Then, you know, the like first half of nursing school, they're asking you very concrete questions like, the pancreas shoots this into the body at what point in time? This organ does what? This organ does what? Well, when you get to the second, divided into equal halves, then the next part is Mr. Doe comes in. He's sweating. His poop is clay colored. He hasn't had his medicine in 4 days, and his wife won't shut the fuck up. What do you do? And then the four options are like, you know, four things you've never heard of before, and they always throw in the continue to monitor, which is never the answer. Will never be the answer.
You got to do some shit. That's why you're getting paid.
If it's not an action step, no. Your first step is not call the doctor.
No. It's never call the doctor, and it's never continue to monitor.
Yeah, but
great. I've already studied the NCLEX. It's fine. You're good to go.
You're ready. So yeah, basically that's what nursing school will be like forever for you. So get used to that feeling.
And that's why it makes people cry all day, every day. That sounds good to me.
Yeah. But you know what? Also, when you do master that material, or like when you get to a point you're actually nursing and you see a patient and you're like, know exactly what interventions are necessary for this patient because, you know, I learned this material and I learned it well. Some stuff you'll forget if you don't use it, and some stuff will stick with you forever. Like pretty much in our American society, endocrine and diabetes education is like one of the most valuable things you can have.
That's the thing. Yeah, that's the thing. So the community college where I take my prereqs, it's mostly pre-nursing, you know, pre-physician's assistant, that kind of stuff. And so we're not in pathophysiology, we're in physiology, and we're not in pharmacology, but we're in microbiology. And even in those curriculum, you can see that they are absolutely emphasizing kind of the mainstream American kind of clinical stuff in there. You know, so we're talking about antibiotic resistance. We're talking a shit ton about diabetes. We're talking, you know, a ton about heart failure. We're talking a ton about, that kind of stuff. And so those things are emphasized, and, you know, it doesn't take a genius to notice that. Like, it's very clear, that they're starting to lay the groundwork for the major shit you're going to see all the time.
Right. Like the focus on, geriatrics and, also there's a huge shift towards, community-based nursing, that kind of like preventionist care. I mean, it's not a focus of the system as it stands, but like the people that are trying to push the system in the right direction are trying to focus on, because right now our American system is based on treating chronic diseases, you know? I think that we're going to see more and more, especially nurses. Like next semester, I have to do clinical hours. Not all our RN-to-BSN programs require actual clinical hours, but I have to do some community health stuff. They're going to set me up to do it at the university. They said something about me having to find a preceptor, which we'll talk about that another time. But essentially the focus is on population health, you know? So yes, you work in a hospital on a unit, but you know, you are definitely seeing a population. Like I work with the pulmonary population. And so, I'm invested in, like, for example, I'm really interested in care of patients with cystic fibrosis, which is a big patient population that I work with.
In our curriculum a lot too.
I've also had a number of patients recently. We take medicine overflow as well. So I, at any given point, can see any type of patient. And I've had sickle cell patients as well in the last few months. And so there are just these things that it's like, I'm a pulmonary nurse. I do pulmonary and palliative care. Yet I still end up seeing people who have, you know, a medical history that could fill up a notebook page. And so you're never just like, some people say like, oh, I don't do psych nursing. Honey, everywhere is psych nursing.
We're human beings.
And so while you may have specialties that you fall into, it's really good to understand how all of these systems interact. Totally. So if that means that you got to study on the toilet, toilet every morning because that's the only time you get before your kids wake up or whatever. Like, you need to do kind of what Allison has been talking about and find a way to maximize your time. That doesn't mean that you have to, like, only sleep 3 hours a day like I did for many, many weeks. But that means that, you know, you need to make sure that if there is valuable time somewhere in there, like waiting between classes, sometimes it's where you just put your head against the wall and stare into space. I'm not saying don't ever do that, but don't have that be your default setting. Another huge tip. God, this episode is like, it's like 2 hours long.
It's not really an episode. You're going to have to cut it up. It's fine.
This is like volume one and two, essentially, which I've done a number of times before. We've been so all over the place, but I love the way these conversations go. So I think that, another thing that I've been telling everyone that I know that's either in school, starting school, really, this is good for absolutely any possible fucking human being that has a smartphone. There is an app called Cam Scanner, C-A-M Scanner. And it's a free app. It's on iTunes. I'm not sure if it's an Android, but this has saved my ass so many times. All it is, it's just a document scanner. It's a PDF scanner. I've used it. You can use it for everything from like signing a contract, taking a picture of it, and emailing it. You can pay a dollar and fax it. Like it's basically an app that can take anything that's on a piece of paper in front of you, make it a PDF, save it in your Dropbox, whatever. So I've used that not only to submit homework. Like once I was 30 minutes away at school, I realized I had forgotten something that I'd worked really hard on. It was like a case study or something. And I called Doug, made him download the app. He took a picture of every page of the document, emailed it to me, and I ran over to the library and I printed it 2 minutes before class started and didn't lose my points.
That is brilliant advice. Yeah. That's brilliant advice.
The other way it saved my ass is there was a semester when I didn't have the money to buy all my textbooks. And so the syllabus had every page listed. It wasn't like every chapter of the whole book. The book is like 1,100 pages long, but I was able to go through and like say, okay, I can't buy this book right now, but I'll have money for it in 3 weeks. So I went and I used Cam Scanner to take photos and make PDFs of all of the book content that I needed for the first 4.5 weeks of class.
Absolutely.
So that I had all of that in my possession on my Google Drive, you know, which utilize your resources, save yourself money, save yourself hassle. Just scan this shit. You know, if you see something somewhere that you like, save it, scan it, fuck it.
Yeah, that's actually super funny. The oldest, I think probably the time, when I realized I was old, was when the first class I had to take for my prereqs was I had to take chem. And that was the very beginning for me because I didn't hate chemistry, you know, as an undergraduate. And so I had to take, you know, just basic chem. And we had like our first exam got graded. And the professor, it was mostly Scantron, but some short answers. And the professor right after, this was a really nice thing of him to do. But after everybody had taken the test, like 5 minutes after, he would post all the answers on his door. So that we didn't have to go through that shit that you and I were talking about earlier.
Yeah, that torture of did I pass? Did I fail?
You literally would post, you know, the paper of it on his wall. And there was a lot of kind of harder questions with extra credit, that sort of thing. And I went back. This is my first semester back at school. I'm 32 years old. I've been out of school for 10 years. I'm kind of an older millennial. You know, I have a smartphone, but I'm not married to it, that kind of thing. That's kind of me in a nutshell. And I'm like, I get a piece of paper out and I start to write down the answers and start to write down the things. And there's all these fucking millennials just taking pictures of this shit with their phones. And I'm like, holy fucking shit. I'm old. I got shit to learn. And that was like a real revelation. That was a real revelation for me. That was a real revelation for me. When I see stuff, I take pictures of notes that I've even made, pictures of, you know, useful images, anything, you know, I'll save that stuff on my phone. It's very useful because you always have your phone with you. You're always, you know, dinking around on there. Why not have good stuff?
Yeah, and And there are so many ways to get free storage online or to get cheap storage online. Yeah. And so I am someone, I very much am married to my smartphone, but not in a, oh my God, I need to like read TMZ and be on Facebook kind of way. But because really it is like the perfect tool for me. Yeah. Like I can use it to solve any problem I might have in my day-to-day life. And it's so fucking nerdy. One of my guilty pleasures is I love cruising the app store or like the Chrome extension store for utility apps. And for those of you that don't know what a utility app is, list making apps or like apps to help you organize things or I guess that was kind of redundant. Yeah. But like apps that, I mean, I actually had to buy, when I bought a new iPhone, I spent an extra little sum of money because I was like, I want the 899,000 gig phone, please. This, but this is just one page. If it'll focus.
Oh my gosh. You're a maniac.
But at the same time, it is a meticulous archive of shit. I at any point can find anything I need to make my life better. So I feel like
figure out how to use that ridiculously powerful technology.
That's what I'm telling you. So you can literally set, which is a shame because I haven't practiced what I preach this semester, but at the beginning of the semester, I go into my Google calendar and I add every motherfucking deadline. Sorry, I'm getting passionate. So like the curse words are coming out. I put every single deadline that I have for the whole semester in my Google smartphone calendar, calendar, so that at any point in the semester, I, wherever I am, can look and see what my assignment is, when it's due. So I get, I set it up so I get an alert because I do online programs and my material's open for a week.
Most of mine's online too. I can totally.
I set an alarm for when it opens and an alarm for like a day or two before it's due. Mm-hmm. It's these little things. It took me probably like an hour to put it all in my Google calendar. Mm-hmm. And some people are like, that takes too long. I'm not going to do that.
But it pays dividends. It just pays.
It pays so many dividends. For those of you that say like, oh, I'm not technologically inclined. If you're going to be a nurse, figure it out. We have electronic health records, electronic IV pumps that are basically computers. People are running CT scanners and nurses are using ultrasound, and you need to develop your technological literacy. I'm not saying that you need to like.
And you need to get over the sense of like, well, I just don't know how to do this, so I'm going to avoid it. You have to get over
that. Yeah. Oh, and I saw
out the window.
I saw an argument on Facebook the other day that drove me crazy. Someone had posted something about how like an older physician had lost her ability to practice because she absolutely refused to use a computer. Like everything was on paper records. And people were like, well, she has so much experience. And like, who says a computer knows everything? And I wanted to be like, people, you don't understand. You say the computers, yeah, they can't do complex thinking, but humans make mistakes. Mm-hmm. Humans transpose numbers. That's why we develop computer systems. We have safety nets in place. There needs to be a balance. You don't want to go in and have your 90-year-old doctor have lost your consent form or your last test result. You don't want everything about your health to be locked in a disk that suddenly is crashed that nobody can get into. God. We need those balances. And so
there's some people in my, I guess I wouldn't call them, they're not my cohort, but they're my prereq cohort, I guess. I've seen, you know, been with them.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of them, bless them. They make me feel like I'm not so old because they're going back at, you know, 45, 50, 55. But they really, you know, I think it's going to be a tough road for them because I've been in the clinical environment not too, you know, many, many times recently. And I've seen kind of what that looks like, you know, how much the kind of nursing practice is integrated with all this tech stuff. And they're going to be in for a bit of a surprise, I think.
You know what? These technology, they're all tools, okay? Mm-hmm. They're not going to ever do your thinking for you. Sometimes they are a pain when you can't get them to work. However, they're like tools. That's like saying, like, you're telling me you wouldn't use a match if you had it. You would prefer to use two sticks. Because that's how you learned how to do it.
Or a mechanical washing machine that basically liberated women. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure we could do this. We did that. Yeah, we did this for a long time without electronic medical records. But now, if you're driving to visit your Aunt Judy 4 hours away, and you get in a car accident, your doctor can access your allergies, your medical history, and they know how to treat you because they have an electronic medical record that matches up with your regular hospitals. Like, there are distinct benefits that you can't deny. So yeah, it's difficult. It's complicated. Not everybody's like me and can like open up an app and just play around with it for 20 minutes. You can't just, the problem that I have is not with people that have difficulty using it. It's people who refuse. People that are like, oh, I don't use that because it's just, I'm used to the, yeah, well, you know what? Nursing is not based on tradition. It's about evidence. We can't just do something because we've always done it. We don't bloodlet everybody just because that's the way they always did it. Mm-hmm. If we didn't get away from the way people always did it, we wouldn't have any of this. So,
well, my darling, I'm getting quite tired. I'm going to have to go to bed soon.
That's fine. This has turned into volume one and
not
two.
Not that I haven't adored every minute of it, but I'm getting to the point where I need to do all my nightly rituals and then get into bed because I'm old and I have basically three jobs and I'm tired.
No, it means that you're responsible and you have a normal circadian rhythm.
That's true. I do. So I have an appallingly normal rhythm. I actually resent it. I wish I could live on the wild side a little more now, but I kind of become an old fuddy-duddy with that.
Don't Hopefully worry, never you're, gonna have stretch to that. You're gonna stretch that tendon in the next few years. Don't worry.
Boy.
In any case, I want to thank everyone who has listened through all of this. I love our conversations. I love how real they are. There's no bullshit here, people. So until next time, Allison, I just wanted to thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me. It's a real pleasure. I don't even deserve to be on a nursing podcast just yet, but thank you for having me.
Everyone at every stage has something to contribute. So, So everybody go to medroomchronicles.com. You can see all of our episodes. We're on iTunes and just about everywhere else you can find a podcast, and leave us comments, questions, email us if you have some things you'd like us to talk about in future episodes. Until then, thank you and happy nursing. Here at MedRoom Chronicles, we may be uncensored, but we are not unfiltered. Protected health information has been changed and concealed to comply with HIPAA of 1996. The things we talk about are combinations of years of experience with thousands of patients, things we've read, stories we've heard. If you think we're talking about you, trust me, we're not. Also, we're real nurses here to provide accurate and helpful info, but don't take us as fact without doing your own research. Refer to your state's Board of Nursing, Practice Acts, and your institution's policies and procedures if you have questions about your practice. Lastly, our very strong opinions are ours alone and do not reflect those of our employers or educational institutions. Thanks for listening and happy nursing, guys.